This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, Sharmila Ganesan, Lim Soo Ann, and Dashran Johan. So before the break, we spoke to the local cartoonist, Mi, who was recently awarded the Anugrah Toko Cartoonist Award. And now on to our second story, and we have a question going on Twitter.
So we're asking you, have you been using online resources for your exercise or workouts at home, especially during this MCO period? So we're talking about things like videos, live streamed classes, or virtual private training. So right now, 71% of you say yes, you have. But there's about 29% of you who said no, you haven't. So share with us your experiences. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or you can WhatsApp us. The number is 018-789-8899.
We are asking you that because?
So the COVID-19 pandemic and the subsequent movement control order, or you know, some people call it lockdown, circuit breakers, have taken a toll on a lot of industries. The arts and cultural industries, for example, have seen all the events that were supposed to take place during this period postponed or worse yet, cancelled altogether. The same can be said about the sports industry, right? You've seen the Tokyo Olympics and even the Barclays Premier League. All of it has been put on hold. Sorry, Liverpool fans. But another industry that has been taken a hit by the movement control order is the fitness industry.
Yes. So The Star recently published a story on the fitness industry in the US. And the article talks about how more than 350,000 fitness instructors and trainers in the United States have seen their lives drastically change since their government enforced strict social distancing rules. So to keep their businesses afloat, they've really had to adapt and very quickly as well.
So right now, a lot of trainers are utilizing platforms like Zoom, FaceTime, YouTube, and of course, you know, we all would have seen those videos on Instagram. It sounds like a simple enough transition, you know, but for now at least, it's more of a way for trainers to remain connected to both their followers and their trainees, rather than a measure to really generate income, as a lot of these live or pre-recorded workout sessions are being made for free. And so this effort mirrors what a lot of artists and theatre production companies have been doing as well, sort of just putting out free content as a way to stay connected to the people out there, just so that, you know, they know that you are still around, they can support you later on.
Yeah, that's right. And despite the sudden boom of these virtual classes, despite the fact that, you know, every time you go on Instagram these days, on Insta stories, you're guaranteed to see at least three people doing upside down push-ups. the fitness
industry, and making the rest of us feel very bad about it, might I add.
But, you know, the unfortunate reality is the fitness industry as a whole has been suffering. So Rick Stolmeyer, the CEO of the fitness booking app Mindbody, said that his platform typically will have around 1 million classes booked. But since the strict social distancing rules were enforced, something that's undeniably necessary at this point, those numbers have pretty much dropped to zero.
Yeah, and according to Yahoo Finance, Solid Core, which is a Pilates-based class with about 72 locations across the United States, they announced in March that they would unfortunately have to lay off 98% of its workforce due to the pandemic and the measures that are coming to mitigate and contain the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. So that's in the US, but what about the situation here in Malaysia? So while there may not have been any reports of mass layoffs to date, the situation isn't really that much brighter here either. Gyms and boutique studios that conduct group workout sessions have, of course, been forced to close their doors during the movement control order. This MCO is supposed to extend to the 14th of April. We will be hearing later today, actually, from the Prime Minister about whether there's going to be an extension or to get an update on what's happening.
So how is the local fitness industry coping, right? That's what we want to get to the bottom of. To get some sort of gauge of the situation, we have with us Lucius Chu, the head of fitness of Evolution Wellness Malaysia, which is pretty much the parent company of Chief Fitness, Fitness First and Celebrity Fitness. So Lucius, to start off, what are the challenges faced by the fitness industry due to the COVID-19 and the movement control order?
For the fitness industry, right, especially on a personal trainer perspective, I used to be a personal trainer. Our industry is such a physical and community-driven industry. Physical being that you sweat when you go to the gym. There will be some physical adjustments when you try to correct someone's form. And community being that group classes where people gather together and do a fitness activity together. It's very challenging because, as you can see, the two key things that I think the world emphasizes against COVID-19 is hygiene and social distancing. Both things that the community and the physical aspect doesn't really encourage. And for the MCO especially, it's actually, oh, we can't access our gyms anymore. That's our challenge. And I think speaking from as a fitness professional, and I think I say for our industry, how can we support the society better to achieve their fitness goals?
So then how are you and your industry friends getting through this massive hurdle?
Okay, I'll start off with the business first. Okay, for example, like, it was quite challenging for us because when it was announced on the MCO, the first thing that came to our mind, okay, so how are we going to keep our members continuously active for this? So we drew our resources together. We did some last-minute home workout videos for our members and the public. And then I think if you observe social media now, everyone is doing their own live classes, live workouts. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it for Malaysia because MCO in Malaysia is quite strict with regards to we can't get access to our studios anymore to produce it professionally. And we are very fortunate to actually be able to leverage over our sister companies, brother companies in Singapore, Thailand, Indonesia, where they are running the live classes on our behalf and we are posting it on our social media. And I think that applies to all of the industry, where I can see peers actually posting workouts, posting guidelines, posting videos. I think for me, for myself personally, I see how the industry is coping with the MCO and COVID-19. I think it's very inspiring. Everyone is just posting content free of charge.
So based on your observation, what are some of the common difficulties a trainer would face when conducting online classes?
Oh, a very good question. I think one of the key challenges that everyone will face, quality of equipment, because when it comes to fitness coaching, audio is very important, and I don't think everyone is equipped with the audio equipment to do it. And I think the biggest thing is distractions. Because, okay, like for example, I'm not married. The only distraction I have is my partner, who, if I tell my partner I'm doing a class, she will not disturb me. I can tell my only uncontrollable are my dogs, and that's about it. But I'm sure other people who have kids, you know, very young kids, it'll be much more difficult than that. But having said that, I think Malaysians have gravitated towards the virtual space, the fitness virtual space, very well during this MCO. If I may give an example, when Celebrity Fitness tried to do virtual classes a few years back, it failed. No members would join that class. But now you can see, I think, your friends posting their own workout videos, TikTok videos, joining live classes, you know. Interesting how it has accelerated the whole thing.
So with that in mind, is it easy getting people to join these online training sessions, especially if there's a fee attached to it?
I would say, number one is, initially, I would say it was very challenging because I think more so in an Asian region like us, where we appreciate that human touch, appreciate speaking to a person rather than an automated answering system. So yes, I would say it was challenging initially, but on the flip side, I think MCO has sort of created a new reality for everyone where doing things over the virtual space is okay, from marketing to specifically to fitness. And I think it's going to take off very well forward. The only thing that I would say is that the part where you mentioned, if we charge for it, will it be more difficult? I think when businesses do charge for it, it will be difficult. But I think another word for the industry is that I think everyone now has taken an approach where it's very socially responsible, where they just post it and they don't even ask for anything. Like, we're not charging our members membership fees or anything. And I'm sure our competitors are not doing as well. But they're just posting content and members are joining, non-members are joining. I think this is a time where we can really see the industry coming together to really help everyone get through these very challenging times.
And gym and fitness centers in general have been classified as places to avoid, you know, because of the transmission of COVID-19. So what are the challenges you foresee once the MCO is lifted?
Interesting for you to say that. Actually, from our point of view, we think that actually this MCO will produce a few categories of people, where one will be your fitness enthusiasts, where they're actually training for a very long time. And I think these people will jump right back into the gyms. And then there'll be people who are not so consistent and are a bit taken aback with the COVID-19. And on the flip side, where the people have never gone to gym before, one category will be, I think I better stay out of the gym for a longer time because just to be safe. And then on the other side, where you have people who've never joined the gym, but they have been trying out our people's home workouts, live classes in the comfort and privacy of their home, and they've gained the confidence and say that, you know what, let's try this fitness thing. And I think actually I will actually help to improve my immune system just by doing it. So I think the initial challenge will be to serve the demand, because we do believe that, I do believe that the industry will come out of this with more demand, but the biggest challenge will be still applying that social distancing, meaning that every club, every business will need to limit the amount of people in the gym at one time.
So that was Lucius Chu, the head of fitness of Evolution Wellness Malaysia.
So I found it really interesting, what Lucius said about the gym life after the epidemic curve has been hopefully flattened and the MCO has been lifted. You know, are people going to rush back to gyms and fitness centres? You know, it's a little difficult to imagine how gyms could enforce their own social distancing protocol, you know, even thinking of allowing only a certain number of people to enter at any given time. It doesn't seem wholly realistic.
Yeah, it seems kind of complicated. Because gyms, you know, especially in the evenings, you know, it's kind of like a pasar malam in there with 10 people waiting to use an equipment.
I think it's also the hygiene aspect, right? Yes. Because you would have people sweating, people touching all the equipment. Yeah. So it means like constantly sanitizing. Yeah. So I think that seems like quite a hassle for a lot. Like there's a lot of things that will be on people's mind right now.
Right. So one aspect of fitness is, of course, gyms, you know, weight training, all these sort of things. But to get an even better understanding of the fitness landscape right now, I reached out to Noor Soraya, a spin cycle instructor, and asked her about the difficulties she's facing during the movement control order.
You know what? Spinning in general is a completely different ball game because obviously you need the bike in order to, you know, do the workout. It's been really challenging. You know, I've only started teaching since December. And it was so exciting. You know, I really miss teaching. I miss being in the environment with everybody, getting on the bike. And, you know, when you teach spin, it's completely different because you actually have to do the workout throughout that whole 45 minutes with everyone else. So I think how we've been trying to adapt is just, you know, by keeping active still. I mean, there is an option for you to rent the bike and then, you know, take on live classes at home by Fly Cycle, and there are other spin studios around the world that does the same thing as well. But, you know, it's a question of whether you can actually afford to rent the bike, because, you know, it's definitely not something that everyone can afford, especially at this point in time, given that, you know, for a lot of us, most of us, we don't even know what's in store for us in terms of work and how we're going to be able to, you know, sustain over the next few months during this very testing period. So I think one of the best ways to cope really is just to keep active and not to fall short on whatever it is that we're doing in terms of our home workouts at home, because it's, you know, we're in a sedentary state, which is a very scary thing.
So that was Noor Soraya, spin cycle instructor. So that was from the perspective of people who are in the business. So I spoke to someone who has been attending paid virtual training classes and asked him what his experience has been like. While he chose to remain anonymous and didn't want his voice on air, he did say that while he does what he needs to do to maintain his fitness, which is sign up for a virtual training package, the experience just isn't the same as being with his trainer in person. He says that he's contemplating to stop until he can do it face-to-face once again after the MCO has been lifted.
Mm. And we also reached out to a number of other fitness enthusiasts, or at least some people who used to hit the gym, who used to attend classes at places like this fairly regularly before the MCO. And first we asked them if they now engage in these virtual workouts and training sessions, and here's what they had to say.
Yes, I do follow virtual workouts because I don't know anything about free weight and body weight exercises because I'm so used to going to the gym. So following an instructor's one is easier, and I also get to engage with other viewers.
Yes, I do engage in virtual workouts currently with a small group of friends. We'll actually take turns leading the sessions, and we tend to do HIIT workouts these days, which is high intensity interval training, because we tend to be able to cram a lot of sort of movement in a very short amount of time, and it really gets our heart racing. So we'd like to believe that's burning all the calories, because I think with all this time that we have on our hands, we've been eating more than we should be. But it's actually been great sort of catching, and it's a great way for us to catch up as well.
Yes, I do follow the virtual workouts, and that's because even though, yes, we are working from home, it's surprising that I still need to maintain that work-life balance because working from home can be pretty exhausting as well.
So we also asked them if they'll head back to gyms, fitness centres and group classes immediately once the MCO is lifted.
Yes, I will, because I really miss the gym facilities and being in an environment that pushes you to exercise and actually wear shorts instead of boxers to work out.
No, I don't think I'm going to go back to the gyms or group classes once the MCO is lifted. I think with all that's been going on, we're going to have to still kind of social distance in a way. So if we can keep this momentum going, I think this sort of home workout seems to be working out quite well for us.
No, I don't think I would go back to the classes immediately after the MCO is lifted. And I think that's because we will still need to practice social distancing for as long as possible as we can for at least a good 2-3 months, I would say, and avoid any large gatherings in that sense.
So a few different types of responses mm-hmm. there. We've heard some people who are looking forward to hitting the gym, some people who are a bit more hesitant still.
You know, and some people who apparently wear boxers to work out.
We did not need that image in our mind.
But it's interesting to see how people are thinking about this, right? Because on the one hand, you do want to go back and do your old routines, but on the other hand, you are worried about COVID-19 because, yeah. You know, we've been hearing so much from experts that this is a disease that is likely to remain around for a while, even if the MCO is lifted. There's still a need to take precautions so that we don't transmit the virus.
At least until the vaccine is ready, right?
That's right.
So this might be the new normal for quite a while.
It's a bit scary to think of that.
Yeah, so we've been asking you guys if you use online resources for your own exercise and workouts during the MCO. So things like videos, live stream classes, virtual private training. Right now, 70% of you say yes, you do. And then almost 30% of you say no, you don't. Quite a few responses as well on Twitter. Christine is saying, I don't like workout classes to begin with, so I've just been walking around my apartment for 30 minutes a day. Well, at least it is still some physical activity.
Yes, possibly more than I'm doing most of it.
Doh says that our bootcamp has been continuing classes online via Zoom daily. It's a great distraction from all the coronavirus issues. It clears the head a bit, so I definitely recommend having a daily routine. Different class says that working at home is tiring, plus I already have to cook my own food and wash my own dishes. So I guess perhaps that is also a form of exercise for your arms.
Well, actually, housework is some amount of exercise at least.
Yes, yeah. And we've heard experts who say that is actually, at least you are getting, you're not sitting down the whole day, you're moving around, you are exerting some energy. Yeah. Imber says that I'm using some on YouTube, and I've signed up to some classes, which are the ones taught in gyms anyhow, and I've also seen gyms starting their own live videos. Jen West also says that my Pilates instructor has been continuing her classes on Google Hangouts, so it's a great way to keep my back strong and also to see my fellow attendees. And another one, Mel K, says that now that my yoga instructor has started online classes using Zoom, I've been able to resume my yoga practice.
Oh, very good.
We also have Sylvester on WhatsApp saying that, nope, I'm not doing anything online, especially not the free workout stuff. I already have a coach. And just before the whole calamity started, I also had enrolled to another paid online coaching session. So my point is, why do people think workout programs should be free? Who is there to assess their levels of proficiencies to make sure the exercises that you're doing are safe? Good coaches are certainly not cheap, but they are certainly the creme de la creme in their game. You only have one body. Invest in it, not medical insurance in times like this? And I think that is a good point, right? Because often when I followed YouTube videos, there is always that worry in my head that what if I'm not doing this right?
Right.
Because the instructor will sort of guide you to what should be the correct form, but you can't see yourself. You might think you are doing it correctly, but you don't know. And then there's that risk of you potentially then injuring yourself.
Mm-hmm. And Lucius actually talked a little bit about that earlier. He just slightly mentioned like how when you're working out in person, when you're training someone in person, there are certain small cues and like non-verbal cues, they call it, where only someone with so much of experience and the knowledge will be able to notice. Like, so you won't be able to get that if you just watch YouTube or Instagram Live.
Yeah, and I also think Sylvester did bring up a good point about the idea of payment. And that, again, you know, earlier, Suan, you were talking about, you compared this to the arts industry. And I do think that, yes, you know, under the MCO as a temporary measure, doing this for free is a way to retain your following and your audience. But we as members of the public who are partaking in these services shouldn't continuously expect that it be given to us for free.
That's right.
Because these are people who are making their living out of providing a service, an important service as well.
Yeah.
And so long term, I think it's not sustainable to expect that for as long as we might have to practice social distancing, that this will continuously be available for free as well. And then you have issues of things like quality, because if you're not paying for it, you can't demand that it be kept to a certain quality.
That's
either.
Right.
Yeah, and that also goes for the intensity of the workout, right? Because you want something that would suit your body, that you it, and if you, I guess if you attend a gym, at least you do, you can sort of choose what you want to do. You have someone who can sort of guide you through things. But then of course there is that issue of cost as well, right? On the flip side, like I think right now a lot of cost is something that is on a lot of our minds, you know, with businesses being shut right now. I think it's not just the fitness industry that is struggling, but it's also the people as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the fitness industry copes after the MCO is lifted.
Because especially gyms in general are not very cheap. But when we look further, you know, in terms of like personal training and all that. So it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, people flock back to the gym and whether, you know, with all these layoffs we are hearing about or people getting like, you know, 50% of their salary, it'll be interesting to see if people want to invest in their own bodies, like, you know, our the WhatsApp we got, and see whether they want to take on these fitness classes.
Right. A lot of industries actually are struggling with these questions, right? Whether this is inevitably going to change the way certain businesses are built and whether we need to look at alternative ways of running these industries. Well, that is all the time we have for this story. But if you have thoughts that you'd like to share with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or you can drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. And if you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m., we have our we have a new show, part of our new MCO programming, Try This at Home, and they are also going to be talking about fitness, and they're speaking to clinical psychologist and personal trainer Prakash Ravindran about how to achieve your fitness goals at home. That's it from us today on The Daily Digest, but we couldn't resist leaving you with this famous workout song. This is Eye of the Tiger by Survivor on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.